Amen. Amen. Welcome to Accelerated Christian Training School. And we would like to welcome Marcia, Raphael, Kim Healy, Jennifer and Bowden, Amy Hunter, and Pat, and Jan Patrick. And we have Isaac Hunter and Jason Main in-house. And we have Lindsay running sound. And we have Mallory here. So we're all together. We're all together. Let's pray. Father, we love you by Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and breathes all that you are into us by that Son in us. And we love you. We love the Son, and we love the Holy Spirit. We love the three in one, and we love the One. We don't look to you just as a class today. This may be a school, but may it, our hearts be a continued place for you inside of us, Lamb of God. We're with you in your heart, in the spirit of the way you want to share your heart and move in our lives, not just move during this time, but bring your life inside of us as how you want to grow. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said, welcome to Accelerated Christian Training School. And as the Lord right now, he has something that's higher and overriding. And we're just welcoming that spirit that's coming out of his heart to gather us in that heart, deeper, self out, and lamb in. And I know that all that are joined here today want that heart. So when you come, you're a hungry heart. But we know Jesus is hungry too. So we want to pour back on him our hearts. We want to receive that word so that it be something to come back on him. Amen. So we want to just welcome everyone. Mallory will have some instructions. And also, there are three other ladies that are part of this sharing, and that's Geraldine, Francine, and Bia. They had planned to be here. We're not sure what's happened, but we gather them as a part of what's being released. Okay? They're one with what's going on right now. Okay? So we hold them right there, even as the Lord's holding us. So if you could just keep your agreement with them. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Mallory now. Thank you.
Well, good morning, students here. Good afternoon, those of you who are in another time zone. Good early morning to Kim Healy, who's an hour behind us in Arizona. One more group of people I would like to mention before we get started. Deb did a great job. But we have a few more actually on Skype that you don't see because they are with their parents. And that is that Amy has Caroline and Carson with her, and Jennifer has Abel and Asher with her. This is very special that we, yes, right, yay! We have some of our teenagers and young people with us, and they are there to get the Lord. Their parents want them to get the Lord, and so that's just really special, I think. And so I just a word to the young people. You know, when the Lord directed us to do this class, we weren't thinking about having teenagers and young people. So we didn't provide things that would be interesting to you or that would relate to you, but the Lord still puts you in this class anyway, okay? So he knows there's something here for you guys. So I would, he knows, I was looking at the wrong camera. Thank you, Lindsay, behind the scenes. he knows that there are things that he wants to put in your heart, not things that I want to say to you, not things that Accelerated Christian Training School is trying to teach you. The Lord has things for the four of you. And maybe it won't feel like it. Maybe it won't sound interesting to you, but I believe that the Lord has seeds he wants to put in your heart. So if your hearts are open, even if you feel like you're not getting anything, the Lord can put things in there inside of you that he can bring out when he's ready. So, and just for the rest of us adults in the class, if the Lord leads, would you pray for the young people that are listening? Because, you know, no one makes it in the Lord without the Lord, right? And so they need the Lord as much as we do, and we want them to grow up and have long and fruitful lives in Jesus. So just keep them in prayer. So that's very exciting, and I'm just thrilled to have us all together. Okay, so just a little bit about New Creation Realities and what that is. It's a basic class, fundamental class. And basically, it gives the teacher kind of free rein to share whatever's on their heart, which is pretty cool. So whenever I'm asked to teach this class, I go to the Lord. Lord, what do you have on your heart? And usually it has something to do with where maybe he's stirring in me. So it's alive. It's not just like a block of information I pull out and say it, you know. So I feel like, as I shared at the registration time, that this time, what we're going to be sharing on and focusing on is some fundamentals with reference to how the Lamb nature functions in a person who's learning to let him come out. And we'll be looking at scriptures that are very plain and very clear. Something else I would like to do in this class through the quarter is maybe break it down a little bit and explain why we use the terminology the way we do. Because here we have our own terminology and words are flying around and, you know, lamb and, you know, lay down your life and all this stuff. And there's actual reasons for it. We didn't just make that up. And so we'll look at some of those verses and perhaps seek to understand on a very basic level and on a fundamental level that you can build on as you go in your relationship with the Lord and then through the classes here. So let's just pray one more time and we'll get started. Lord, we love you, and we are here for you. We're not here for a class. So, Lord, we ask that you will just draw our hearts today, that you will gather us into you, and gather us into your meaning of you. Lord, how you want us to know you and understand you, that it's not rules and it's not spiritual knowledge. It's you, the person. It's you, the person, Lord. So speak to us today, speak to me, speak to individual hearts, gather us into the 2020 vision and just override our inabilities and our blindnesses and whatever things we've got, Lord, that may hinder you. Lord, in some way or fashion, work the way that only you can and do something in our hearts that opens them and helps us to know you and to let you live. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go ahead and start by opening our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And we will start with the verse that started it all. Oh, wait, that's not 5:17. I'm not even in the right book. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This class is New Creation Realities, right? Okay. this is the verse that is kind of the banner verse for this class. We are talking about the new creation. Okay, God created this amazing universe that we're still learning about and all the wonder and beauty and terror of it. but when Jesus went to the cross, when he died and was raised again, he created a whole new universe. It's a completely different creation. It doesn't function by the same laws. You can't interact with it the way you do with this creation. With this creation, God has provided us five senses, and we navigate through life using those senses and our reasoning. But the new creation doesn't do that. It's nothing like that. And it is something he's created. It is real. It is there. But it's nothing that we have. There's nothing that we know or have that can serve us in learning that new creation. Okay. Now, you already know, believe it or not, you already know some things about this new creation. Because really, the new creation is the raised Christ with his many-membered body. That actually is the new creation. But our minds go, oh, yeah, I know that already. I know about that. And we go through that little file in our brain. It was, okay, what do I know about that? I know this. Okay. But what we want to do is we want to open so that the Lord can share with us in ways that we haven't known or understood, not because we're looking for brand new knowledge, okay, not that, but because we can't know him and we can't know the new creation unless he shows us. There's nothing in us that can come to it on our own just because we decide we want to, or because we think we're smart, or because we are in our Bibles, or because we're committed. It takes the Lord, okay, and we are completely at his mercy. Now, the good news is that he really, 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 really wants to show us, okay? And he's really working in our hearts to get us to a place where we can comprehend what it is he wants to share with us about himself, okay? So, that said, there are certain things about the new creation that all of you already know. I will list a few, and you can probably think of more. God has done a tremendous work in Christ. The work that happened at the cross is beyond anything that we can comprehend by making a little list. The provision that is ours in Christ is endless, absolutely endless. And it's amazing. And the way that God did it by his love to provide for us so completely, it is shameful for us to not bow our knee and love him with all our hearts for what he's done for us in Christ. I mean, really, it's just tremendous. And if we ever get just a slight scent of that, just a whiff of that on the breeze of the Holy Spirit, it draws us into want to know him forever. I mean, you know, throw out earthly knowledge and throw out anything else you want to do with your life. Knowing Jesus will take 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. It will fill you up. It will pour out of you. And it's just an endless flow. But let's look at a few of these things that he's done by Christ in love. He's forgiven us of everything we've done wrong ever and ever will do wrong. Some of us are pretty young, so that's a lot you've got to look forward to. Sorry, that's a horrible way to say it. But I mean, you know, we all have things in us that we don't know are there that come out at some point. So he's forgiven us of all of our sins. He's taken us out of the world system where we don't owe it anything. We don't owe the world anything of our time, energy, resources. You know, it all belongs to Jesus now. He has put us to death in his son. Everything that would thwart him, hold us back in the Lord, keep us from having a heart that would just love him, anything like that, put to death in the person of Jesus Christ. That one, that old person, that old Isaac, the old Jason, the old Marcia, the old all of us, it's just gone. It's just not there anymore. Now, we don't always realize that. We still act it, and it seems stronger than the rest of us, and sometimes we don't even know that that's what that is. And it takes a while for the Spirit to explain it all and bring it to the surface and show us contrasts. But the fact of the matter is, the work is done, and he's provided that. So now going forward, everything that we pursue of the Lord, we are doing so on the ground of it already having been completed, okay? And, you know, we make the mistake of letting that be the reason why we don't pursue as hard, since we feel safe. We pursue usually when we're terrified or we're in a crisis. But his goodness is that he provided that so that we are already, if you will, surrounded by his arms. You know, it talks about in Deuteronomy that underneath us are his everlasting arms. And so as he is bringing us through dealing or bringing the cross or bringing out things in us that aren't the Lord that need conviction and being dealt with, the whole while we're safe in a completed work. And it's just incredible. We've been delivered from the wiles and the snares of the enemy. To the degree that we walk in the new creation, the enemy cannot get in there and give us a hard time. We're not obligated to live by the law anymore. And as you know, not growing up as Jewish folks or in the Torah, that's a little more of a theory for us. But the Lord is not asking of us a standard or a code. He's not asking that of us. I know it's a little more theoretical, but it's really pretty amazing that the really only thing he's asking from us is our hearts. If he has our hearts, because that's where he moves in us, and because that's where Jesus is, he can do anything he wants done in us, as long as the heart is there, facing towards him 100%. Everything else can be dealt with. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. All right, so there's a few more things he's done for us. He's become our father and brought us into his family. Amazing. Amazing. You know, many of us, I can look around this room and see that many of us here have really good family life, really good family life. And I know that on Skype, there are many of you that are very blessed with your family lives. But we've been brought into God's family, which is even greater. What a wonderful family, because even the best of earthly families has dysfunction and lack, and people do things wrong somewhere. No one's perfect, but we've been brought into God's family, the family of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, what a family. You're never going to be alone. You're never going to be kicked out. You're always going to have a place you belong. And God did that. He did that. He put his Holy Spirit in us. Oh my goodness, third person of the Trinity, wherever I go, no matter how much I mess up or if I'm not getting it or I feel hard as a block, Holy Spirit's there. Amazing. Amazing. Part of the new creation, right? We get to serve in his kingdom. He actually gives us things to do for him that will bless him. What a privilege. What a privilege. You know, now we don't just clean bathrooms. We clean them for the Lord. Seriously, we don't just rake leaves anymore. We rake them for Jesus. You know, or he brings us into other areas. Like, you know, I'm looking at Lindsay back there who has become completely immersed in the tech world. And she didn't do that before she came here. This happened. And this is not even, she would probably, if 5 years ago, she would probably have said, this is not my area of expertise. And she would probably today say, it's still not her area. But you know what? It's become like now, she's like, as far as the kingdom, how it functions within our local fellowship, it's like the backbone. Okay, and it wasn't because she's good at it or because that's what she knows, that's what she wanted to do. The Lord placed her there. He said, this is what I want, this is how I want to use you. You know, and the Lord is amazing like that. And I'm sure that, you know, Lindsay has made plenty of mistakes. I'm sure she's had to go to leaders with a red face and God, I really screwed up. I did this, I did that. And God didn't kick her out. Like he keeps developing and the nature of him keeps growing in her. And I'm just using her as an example because I can see her with headphones on back there, you know, so that's the one I'm looking at. But, you know, I can look at the screen. I can look at all of you, but I'm looking at the screen and I can see this person, the Lord uses them like that. This person serves the Lord this way. This person's doing this for the Lord. And I could probably go through every single person and say something about how the Lord, as undeserving as we are, as imperfect, as blind as we are, he gives us things to do to serve him. And it fills our hearts with joy and the river of life flows. And whether you are, you know, on an outreach and getting to declare the gospel, or if the Lord is giving you a song to sing in the fellowship, or if you're teaching a class, or if you're doing nuts and bolts stuff like tech and sound, the Lord has brought, that's part of the new creation. That is so amazing, you know. We get to serve him. We get to grow up in him and mature and grow, you know, and make mistakes like in a real family where you can, you know, be immature and your parents love you through it and parent you through it. Well, the Father is loving you through it and parenting you through it, all of us. He takes care of us in earthly things. How many of you have seen miracles in your finances? You know, how many of you have been provided for and you know it was the Lord? You didn't go out and just buy that thing that you wanted. And maybe it wasn't even something you needed. It was something you liked. Has the Lord ever provided those things for you? You know, he provides things that we like and want, even if we're messed up and we're not doing him quite right. And he still blesses us with earthly things. Amazing. Amazing. Have you ever met another person like that? And yet, do we ever let our hearts be overwhelmed with what he has, just the bounty of his heart and the blessing that he has and regularly through the cross and through our relationships with Him just continues to flow. What place do we have for complaint? What place do we have to act like we're somebody or to think we're awesome or whatever in the face of a God like that? You know? And to begin to realize, oh my goodness. And not just to be grateful, though we should be grateful, that this is the relationship we're in. And you begin to go, oh my goodness, maybe I need to walk a little more carefully in this relationship, because I'm in relationship with a God who just never stops giving. And personally, I know I've had to do this. I got so used to His blessings that they became old hat, and I thought I should have more. You know? And that's just the worst. That shows my heart is wrong. But to step back and take a look at the constant flow from the Lord, and, you know, there's one more thing I haven't said yet, and I'm getting to it here, and it's the main thing. The most important thing out of everything that He's done, accomplished in the new creation, is He put His Son in us. Oh my goodness. In me, the one who doesn't get it, or the youngest one, or the flake of the bunch, in me, He put Him in me. And then we discount Him. You know, oh, well, I'm so blind, or I don't know anything. And no, let's just let our hearts be open and tenderized to the fact that His Son is in us all the time. All the time. And the beauty of that. And, you know, set aside for a moment the fact that He wants that Son to be formed in us and that there needs to be an increase of Him. Just the fact that He would put Him in there and never leave, no matter what we do, is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. He loves us. He wants us with Him. He wants us to be secure with Him. He wants us to be in a relationship of life and love and a flow of giving. And He's starting it, okay? But He put His Son in us, and that's where we're going to really hit the ground running. I just wanted to share the beginnings of this to get our hearts in a place like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. It's not just a list of stuff. This is to see the Spirit of how much He gives and how much He's done and how completely He's provided and how He will continue to provide. You know, I don't even know where our nation's headed right now, but who knows? Right? You know, who knows? Through whatever happens, we are under the shadow of His wing. If we get thrown in the middle of a fire, He is right there with us. We have nothing to fear. If the whole earth shakes, nothing to fear. Okay? We are in this wonderful, beautiful relationship He's brought us into. But let's not let that put us to sleep. Wow, this is awesome. And get really comfortable and then just stay the way we are. Part of that, His reaching out, is an invitation for us to become that. Become that, okay? And that's where the participation really comes in on our part. That's where we can start to bless back, to give Him what He wants. So we're going to talk about He put the Son in us and what that means, okay? And I don't know where your minds go, or how you conceive of that. To me, it was, you know, for many years, it was very ethereal. Like, okay, I believe that. Or I could feel His presence, so that's what that was. Or, yes, I believe it. I grew up in it, and we believe that. But I want to really get into the Scriptures and kind of show, hopefully, a little bit of what God means. I'll show you what I know anyway. It may not be a lot. But I'll show you what I know, and hopefully that will be helpful to you. But before we turn to any other Scriptures, let's back up just a little bit to verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 5. I want to show you something. Verse 16, it says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we Him no more." And then it goes on to say, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And let's just slip right into verse 18, that first part. "All things are of God." Amazing. Wonderful. There's something I want to point out here to you. In verse 16, it says, "From now on, we know no man after the flesh." As a matter of fact, we don't even know Jesus after the flesh. Well, who is Jesus after the flesh? Jesus of Nazareth, right? The guy who came and walked and did all the miracles and all the red letters in your Bible and died on the cross. Paul says he doesn't know Jesus that way. Whoa. Almost sounds like heresy, doesn't it? Almost sounds like heresy, except it's the scripture, so it can't be heresy, okay? So in verse 17, the new creation can't be the flesh. It can't be something you see. It can't be something you hear, because we don't know one another after the flesh anymore. We're a new creation. Okay, got the concept, okay? So if it's not flesh, I'm going to throw this out, it must be spirit. The new creation is a spirit. All right, now, having said that, let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. I'd just like to say that Marcia is our other Acts student. Hi, Marcia. It's good to have you with us. Glad you're here, and you're definitely here. You're more than a circle on a screen to us, for sure. So, actually, all of you are more than a circle on a screen. But, okay, Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Okay, so thinking back to what we just read in 2 Corinthians, would that be flesh or would that be spirit?
Flesh.
Flesh, right? He was born of a woman. If you pinched him, it hurt. He was a person, okay? Just a guy. I mean, he was God, but he was also a guy, you know? Okay, as this person, it says in verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay, so that is the Jesus that we are not seeking to know. Okay, well, we do need to know Jesus of Nazareth. Don't get me wrong. I totally agree. And you know, a really good understanding of the Gospels will take you far. Okay, but the new creation isn't found in the Gospels. And the new creation isn't found at looking at your brothers and sisters in the earth. Because did you know that your brothers and sisters do stuff that's not Christ? You know, did you know that you do stuff that's not Christ? And people see that in you too? Okay, that's why we don't know one another after the flesh. Okay, we look at Jesus, the raised Jesus, not the one in the flesh. And that's how we know one another now. Whoa, huh? Okay, let's look at this a little bit more. Verse 6. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Okay, now back in verse 4. God sent forth his Son. In verse, that was as a man, in time and space, lived a certain amount of years, died, was raised from the dead. Okay, but now, as sons of God, he sends forth not his Son into our hearts, but the Spirit of his Son. That's not the same thing, is it? Jesus is not going to like materialize in our presence, right? Jesus isn't going to come in a vision. Jesus comes into us as a spirit. Now, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it's the Spirit of the Son in our hearts that we have to do with in this class. We're really, this is our direction now. Now we're going. This is our direction. We're going to learn about Jesus in the heart. Jesus in the heart is a spirit, not a guy. Okay? It's not the knowledge of Jesus in our head. It's not the sense of the Holy Spirit's movements in our feelings. It is the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, the Spirit of the Son. And that's what we're going to be really looking at. And we're going to look at some verses here that really explain that more. Now, something that is often thought is that this just means, oh, that's just the Holy Spirit. And I think it's really important for all of us to understand that there is the Holy Spirit who is in us as a person. He is a person, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of his Son is a nature, a disposition, something that sparks attitudes and motives, okay? And that's the Son who is in us. He's in us like that. He's in us like that. That's the Son, by the way, that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal. Okay, you've heard about the revelation of Christ, and the tendency is to like know more, know more. And he will teach us more. But the Son he wants revealed is the Spirit of the Son in our hearts. As a matter of fact, Paul talks about it in Galatians in chapter 1, the same book. So you know it's connected. It's all in the same book. Okay? So I hope that this helps, because we throw terms around here. I don't mean that in a rude way at all. I throw terms around. We are looking for Christ to be revealed. It is necessary for the increase of Christ in your hearts for Christ to be revealed in you. But if you think that's something else, you'll head off in a completely wrong direction. I taught a class once, a Romans class, and I think actually Kim Healy was here at the time when I taught the class. And I was trying to explain that if you start from the wrong place, that you'll end in the wrong place. So if someone gives you directions to Baltimore, Maryland, and they think you're starting in Oklahoma City, they're giving you the directions as if you were from Oklahoma City. But if you start from Dallas and use the same directions, you won't end up in Baltimore. You'll end up in a completely different city. See, you know, for your destination to be right, when we're going to call Christ in you being revealed is the destination, you got to start in the right place. So if you think seeing Christ revealed means seeing a whole bunch of awesome stuff in the Word, and you love the Lord with all your heart, that's what you'll start to do. See? Or if you think that the revelation of Christ is feeling strong and powerful and amazing and victorious all the time, you'll start looking for that and pursuing that. But if he's not meaning that, if he means something else, then the two of you, he's giving you steps, but you're starting in Dallas and he wanted you to start from Oklahoma City. So you're trekking across the map at the wrong place. And, you know, personally, I believe if you have a heart for the Lord, he'll get you there in the end. But I'll tell you what, let's save some extra circles. You know, let's save some extra wrong turns, shall we? You know, let's get after the Lord and really get going. So it's the Spirit of his Son. And when we say the Spirit, we don't mean the Holy Spirit in this way. And I'm going to show you more verses that will show that. Okay, I promise there's actually more Bible verses that say this. When we talk about the Spirit of his Son, we are talking about the nature and the ability or the energy of the nature to spark the attitudes and motives and intents and actions and words that manifest Jesus. Okay? So it's not like something you can put in a bag, and like a drawstring bag, and put it in your pocket and I have it. Like you have cash, you have a lot of cash in your pocket. I've got 200 bucks rolled up in my pocket. It's not like that. And the revelation of Christ and Christ living in you never is that kind of an experience. As a matter of fact, if you're really flowing with the Lord, a lot of the time you may feel empty or blind. And you have to draw from that Spirit of the Son by faith. So if you're looking to feel really secure and self-assured, like you've got something, you'll miss it. He doesn't work in that. Okay? So I hope this makes a little bit of sense to somebody out there, because these are things I've had to work through myself. Like, what do you mean, Spirit of the Son? You know. So let's look at a few more verses. And this is important to understand, this distinction I'm making, because sometimes in the scriptures, when the New Testament writer uses the word Spirit, he means Holy Spirit. He does. And you can tell it from the context. He's speaking of a person. But sometimes he means this disposition or this nature, okay? This save, like a savor or a fragrance, something that to flesh, to our fleshy minds, is very ethereal and isn't something you can just grab. And yet, God is Spirit, and it runs the universe, okay? So there's more to it than just ethereal, right? Okay, let's look at... Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 6. We want the Lord. We want the real Jesus here. Okay. My words aren't going to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to have to lead each of our hearts. And this is an amazing thing, too, that God knows how to keep it real. Every single one of us make our own steps. Okay. When you're younger in the Lord, you have people, God will surround you with people who will help you and pour into you and minister to you. But ultimately, it's your steps with Jesus. It's your heart that loves the Lord and your chosen steps of faith that are going to make the difference for you, that and the Lord. But you getting out of the boat and walking on the water, not watching spiritual brother or sister so-and-so do that. You know, you doing it in your circumstances. Okay, Romans 7, verse 6. Just the second half of the verse, really. That we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. That word spirit, does that mean Holy Spirit or this nature reality that we've been talking about? Just by that much. It's not Holy Spirit. It doesn't say in the newness of Holy Spirit. It's contrasting spirit with letter, right? Not Holy Spirit with another person. It's something, it's a disposition, it's a realm, it's an essence, it's a nature that has a power of its own to it, okay? We serve in a new spirit. Well, who do you suppose that is in the new creation? Who do you suppose the new spirit is? It's Christ. Christ is the life of the new creation. The newness of spirit is him in us. This spirit of his son that is at the core and root at the bottom of every right motive, every thought that bends towards the Lord, every step that we put out there when we carry the cross, it comes from that spirit. That is the source. That is the life flow right there. That's newness of spirit. Let's look at John chapter 6, 63. And you know, I might put a couple of these on the board for you because we have people. Yes, John 6, 63. So here are the scriptures we've looked at so far. Galatians 4:4-7. That was our main one. He sent forth the spirit of his son this time. He originally sent his son in the flesh, but now he sent forth the spirit of his son. And we looked at Romans 7, 6, just the second half. And I'll just put B because it's like the second half of the verse. And now we're going to John 6, 63. John 6, 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? What power, if we would understand this division, and if we would understand the difference between flesh and spirit working in us. This first reference to spirit could be the Holy Spirit. See, in the Greek language, when they wrote the Bible, you know how they wrote it? In all capital letters, with no spaces between the words and no punctuation marks. It's just line after line after line of letters. So in our Bible, we capitalize spirit when we mean the Holy Spirit, and we make it a small s when we think it's not. But that is the translator's opinion. That's not inspired by the Holy Spirit, whether or not that's a capital. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. Maybe not in that particular reference because it says the spirit that quickeneth. Well, maybe it's the Holy Spirit it could be, right? I mean, that to me, anyway, it doesn't seem entirely clear which one it might be. But if you look at the second reference to spirit, Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit. Now, does that mean the Holy Spirit? The words I speak to you are the Holy Spirit. That makes no sense. It couldn't be that. They are spirit. They are that life-giving nature. This is why the word is so important, you guys, the living word. Because it it contains the life we want to live. That's why the word, and getting, when we say get in the word, we don't just mean read Numbers and read Ezekiel and read. We mean find the Holy Spirit. Let him begin to speak the words of life to you. Let them get in your heart because you begin to live from there. They have the germ of life. It's not just knowledge in our heads, okay? So the words that Jesus speaks, they are spirit. They are life. Incidentally, this is the gospel that begins with, in the beginning was the Word. Speaking of the eternal Son of God. Oh, wait, the Spirit, the Son who is the Spirit. Oh, wait, the one that's been sent into our hearts. Do you see how this all begins to connect? All of a sudden, it starts to explode, just explode. So the Word is deeply connected and tied up with the Spirit in us by which we live and who must be revealed. Okay? Now, I'm not expecting you to understand all this. I don't know that I understand it. I'm simply pointing out that this is the realm that we are looking. When we talk about Christ living in us, this is it. This is where we're looking now. We're not going to go off and look for good feelings. We're not, although God may give us good feelings in his presence. We're not going to go off and look for lots of knowledge, like the heavens to open and the clouds part and the light comes down your Bible and the angels go, oh, and you see, I see, I see. You know, we're waiting to see and then we'll know that we know it. You know, no, we're not looking for that even, although that's also awesome. But that isn't the revelation of Christ. It's when this living word starts living out of you. That's it. And it's this spirit, this nature. Okay? That's the direction we want to head in this class and, God willing, for the rest of our lives. That's who we're looking for. Okay? All right. Let's look at Ephesians 4:23. Ooh, this is a good one. And I need to hurry up. Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Is that the Holy Spirit? No, the Holy Spirit's not the spirit of your mind. That can't be right. What did you say, Jason? Yeah. Be renewed in this disposition or attitude or this thing that makes that energizes or sparks how you view the world, how you relate, how it motivates you. Be renewed in that. That would be Jesus, wouldn't it? The spirit of his son would be the renewing. And our minds are changed from carnal to spiritual. Okay? But the spirit is at the back of it. This nature is at the back of it. And that's who we want to see. That one. Okay? Last verse, and then we're going to wrap up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. This will throw an interesting curve. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That could not possibly mean Holy Spirit, because Jesus would never say you're blessed if you're poor in the Holy Spirit, right? See how ridiculous that would be? So it's poor in something else. Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not going to answer today. Anyone want to try or guess? Isaac, your wheels are turning. Okay, that's all right. Think on that, okay? Maybe we'll come back to that. I might make a note. We're going to come back to that verse. Because that's a challenge. What does that mean? Come back. Okay, we'll stop there. This is just an introduction to point us in the right direction, okay, of what we're looking for in this class and hopefully for the rest of our lives. But before we close out, I have some wonderful news. You're going to have homework. Marcia, that means you. Yay, Lindsay's cheering. Marcia, that includes you. You also have this homework. And Kim, I don't know if you are taking this for, is Kim Healy still on there?
She is.
Okay, hi, Kim. If Kim, if you are taking this class for credit, then this is also your homework assignment. And if anybody else would like to do the homework assignment, they are most certainly welcome to do so. This is what your homework assignment is. It will be like this every single week. You are going to start keeping a log, okay? And I don't want to say journal or diary because that implies something that's private. And I'm not wanting to know the inner thoughts that we shouldn't know. Okay, this is a log, and you're going to go through your week, and you're not going to do like every little moment, but you'll know what you want to write down. This is pretty subjective. Okay, you're going to write down or note different attitudes that you notice coming out of you. Okay, now I would recommend you just ask the Lord to point out what He wants you to notice, because we have attitudes like a jillion attitudes a day, so there's no way you could actually do this completely. Okay. But just become aware of like reactions and attitudes, and not to get you under condemnation, okay? Not to get you all introspective and thinking about you. What was that? What was that? I don't mean that. I mean, if you notice it and it's obvious to you, jot it down like you would a grocery list. See, like you're being a little objective. It may be things that you don't think are very good, like, that's a bad attitude. Or it might be something like, huh. You know, that maybe that was the Lord or something. It could be either. It could be either one. But you want to write them down, that you, like attitudes and reactions you note through the week. You might notice the same one over and over again. That might be what happens. Or you might notice like a cycle. Like sometimes I'll go through like a cycle of attitudes of, you know, I'm critical and then I'm upset because, I got critical and was unhappy, and then I get under conviction. I'm like, oh God, like I might notice, and I go through it over and over again. Why am I going through the same thing over and over again? You know, like it might be something like that. You can be creative as far as you have a lot of latitude and freedom to pursue this however you feel like the Lord wants you to. But just ask the Lord, okay? It's not meant to make you freak out. We're going to set something up for things that we're going to do in the future, okay? So log your findings. And next week, be ready to share. And we will take a little bit of time at the end of every class to share. So I will expect the students who are taking the class to have something to share, because this is your homework assignment. So that includes Marcia and Kim. Be prepared to share next week. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but everyone will get to participate. If we have time and other participants and members of the class who have done the homework would like to share, we will include you. But we do need to make sure that we do the students first, because they're the ones who are taking it for credit. So just log your findings, be ready to share some of your conclusions or your insight that you have discovered. And finally, I will say your attitude will show you what spirit you are of. Okay, your attitude will show you what spirit you are of. So I would recommend maybe you can do it how you want, but you're going to turn this in at the end of the quarter. A little bitty notebook might be useful instead of like a lot of loose papers flying everywhere. You might want to find like one little thing to have it contained. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together. Lord, I trust that you are speaking. You don't even need to use the things I say. You can just use the word of God, and if a heart's open, you will speak. Lord, I trust that you are the teacher and that you are over us all. And I ask you to continue to overshadow us, to gather us out of us and into you, and to help us set our face and our pace for the spirit of his son to be revealed in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys. Thank you guys on Skype. We love you. We love you. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.